Haywire.
Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
On the 5th of November in 1881, the settlement of Parihaka, where many Māori from the Taranaki region had found refuge as a result of the land wars, was invaded and several peaceful resistors were arrested without trial. Cultivations and livestock in the settlement were destroyed and much of the land seized. Today, Māori and Parihaka are still fighting for their rights. Climate Justice Taranaki marked the anniversary of the event last week by implementing a peaceful blockade of the Whairaroa Fonterra Dairy Factory and the Kapuni Balance Fertiliser Factory and the Todd Energy Gas Plant. I spoke to Tui Ao Bailey, member of the Climate Justice Taranaki group, about the relevance of climate activism today in Parihaka. The relevance of climate activism today to Parihaka Day. We also spoke about many pro-Palestinian advocates and Te Pāti Māori's leader, Debbie Narewa-Packer, who have stated the relevance of Parihaka to the oppression of Palestinians in Gaza today. I started by asking Tuhi Ao to explain a little bit about the history of the invasion of Parihaka.
Well, I guess the history of Parihaka began really in the 1860s when the land war started, when the government and settlers wanted more land than Māori were keen to provide, to share, and started saying that if Māori wouldn't sell, then that would be taken as an act of rebellion, and therefore the Crown could confiscate their land. And so, there was what they call the land wars, or sovereignty laws across the country, and that kind of culminated in a whole lot of iwi and hapu coming to Parihaka as a place of refuge, as their villages were destroyed across the country. And then the government under Mr. Bryce came in and invaded the village on the 5th of November in 1881, read the Riot Act and told everyone they had to leave. And then they started carting, loading everyone onto carts and walking them off to the prison in New Plymouth. And people were imprisoned for several years without trial, and they destroyed the village. But our people still remained, the women and children, some old people, held onto the village, and we've been struggling to get our lands back ever since.
Could you explain the blockades on Parihaka Day last week and the relevance of targeting dairy, gas and fertiliser companies to the history of Parihaka?
Yeah, so the relevance of why we blockaded the three factories last week is because we want people to understand how climate change is not just a thing caused by fossil fuel emissions. The heart of it is in the expansion of Europe for the rest of the world, and the industrial period which had machines run by fossil fuels. So by trying to demonstrate to people that the oil and gas industry of Todd in particular, that gas is used to make fertiliser, and that fertiliser is used to put on the farms and agricultural units around the country. And then that, of course, feeds into the Fonterra dairy production plant, and they use fossil fuels to dehydrate the milk into powder, which is shipped across the world. So 95% of the dairy that's made in New Zealand is exported overseas. So that whole colonial extraction project is still going on, and it's still driving it's our biggest climate polluter. And it's still the main reason why we can't get our land back for our people and for anyone really, to be able to have a house in a small plot of land and live sustainably rather than having to rent in the city and work crazy hours of the day.
And so what reforms to our agriculture sector would Climate Justice Taranaki like to see moving forward?
Yeah, so what we're asking for is kind of a thing that people think is impossible, but we don't. we'd like to see the end of dairy exports. So that's 95% of our products shouldn't have to go overseas. Like, people can get their own dairy products overseas if they want to. And what it does is it drives small farmers overseas out of business, like in India and places like that. But we have enough cows in the country to feed our own people, and we can use the rest of the land, 95% of the land, to regrow our forests that were smashed for agriculture, wetlands, estuaries, and go into other agriculture, like food forests, fruit, vegetable production, nuts, textiles, fibre, those kind of things. So, the dairy industry is in, over $40 billion in debt. They're struggling to get workers because people don't want to work in the industry because it's crazy hours and the pay is not very good for the actual workers. Yeah, so we want to overhaul the agriculture system so it's sustainable.
And how would you respond to those who would argue that agriculture exports are fueling our economy?
Well, yeah, they might be, but whatever it is now, it's not the main source of revenue for the country, and it certainly won't be once fossil fuels are too expensive or completely unavailable. But it has no future no matter what, so it has to reform. It has to do something else because it cannot keep up like this. And you know, even with the climate disasters we're seeing, floods, wildfires, drought, outbreaks of disease and things like that, tornadoes, you know, farmers get hit the most because they're the most vulnerable thing. Big expanses of land that have been deforested or had their rivers kind of piped and buried. So it has no choice.
Moving now a little bit to the history of Parihaka and peaceful protest, many people, including Te Pāti Māori leader Debbie Ngaruapaka, have referenced the relevance of Parihaka to the current oppression of Palestinians in Gaza. How relevant do you think Parihaka is to current day issues like this?
It totally is relevant. And it's disgusting what's happening over in Gaza. It breaks our hearts. Yeah, I mean, this is totally about the story of one very powerful oppressor and the people who just want to live their normal, peaceful lives. Yeah, I mean, the Palestinian people have been very, people go about Hamas being a terrorist organization, but like compared to the aggression from Israel, it's really nothing. Like, you know, even when people spray painted the Israeli community center in Auckland last week, it was the Palestinians who went out and cleaned it up because they know, you know, it's the right thing to do, that we don't need more violence and anger and that kind of thing. And, you know, that's similar to the passive resistance our ancestors showed at Parihaka, that, you know, we can fight back and just have more and more violence and killing. And, you know, where do we get? Like, at some point we have to sit down and talk and sort it out. And, yeah, that's what, you know, the Palestinians have wanted for 75 years, but they haven't been given the chance because of the powerful countries like the US and the UK backing more violence.
Is it necessary to understand such wide issues of climate change, colonisation, conflict and humanitarian crises as connected? Or does this take away from the importance of each individual issue?
It's really, really important because that's the whole problem, is that we've spent all these years kind of trying to deal with all these isolated bits and pieces without seeing the connection. And if you can connect it all up, you can work out where you actually really need to solve things. And really, this is about greed and fear from the rich and powerful. You know, most of the pollution doesn't come from, you know, the average person going to work in their car just trying to feed their family. It comes from the big companies, the big landowners who are polluting way more beyond their means and damaging the planet. It comes from the industry of exporting resources back and forth across the world to feed the richer countries. So the people in the middle, the capitalists in the middle, who are just trying to make more and more money. And so if we can get to the heart of it and people can see how they fit into that picture and get themselves out, or, you know, we can stop the ones who have the most control by giving them the moral choice, you know, going, stop being greedy and fearful and do the right thing for your community. And that's the way we can stop it. But it's, yeah, and there's a lot of people on the streets and that kind of thing to get the message through.
That was Tuhiao Bailey, member of Climate Justice Taranaki, speaking to me about the anniversary of the invasion of Parihaka last week.